The return to full-time in-person learning for students this year has brought more behavioral issues in some districts. At the start of the school year, the Madison School District saw a sharp rise in behavioral referrals for fighting in its high schools, according to an analysis by the Wisconsin State Journal. And some districts around the country have reported similar numbers since the fall compared to pre-pandemic years. It's not clear how widespread that trend is, given that there's no statewide or nationwide data. But the reports from some districts are raising concerns about safety and the way students are readjusting to in-person learning. Our guest today is here to help us better understand the ways that students respond to anger and how to help them process their emotions more effectively and peacefully. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in a school district? Are you seeing more fights or other behavior problems in your schools this year? Are students acting out more in general? What do you think is driving that? If you're a parent or a student yourself, what are you seeing? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology and associate dean for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at the UW-Green Bay. His research focuses on healthy and unhealthy expressions of anger. You can follow his work at alltheragescience.com. Ryan, welcome back to Central Time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Does it surprise you that we're hearing from at least some schools that they're seeing more fights and behavioral problems from students since the return to in-person learning?
It does not surprise me much at all. I don't know that I would have anticipated the problem being as severe as it seems to be, but I do think that we're seeing more anger just generally across a variety of contexts. And so I think to me that there are some things that might be unique to the school situation, but overall, I think this is really a symptom of a much broader anger problem that we're seeing right now in the United States and maybe elsewhere as well.
Before we dig deeply into schools and the teenage years and anger, what do you see driving that wider trend toward us being more angry?
I think there are a lot of factors at play right now. I think, stress over the pandemic and the uncertainties that stem from that are still very present for people. And I think that stress is making it more likely for people to snap at times. I think the fact that we are still, we've relatively recently had a very, very divisive election, and one that I think, all elections have been divisive, but I think this one didn't go away. Right, that there is still a lot of discussion about it. There's still a lot of questions about sort of what's going to happen next with the upcoming elections. I think we're in a very divisive political time that tends to be driving a lot of negativity and a lot of frustration. I think a lot of the kind of economic and other types of uncertainty that we're living in right now is maybe encouraged a level of competitiveness amongst people that is driving anger.
Now, diving back into schools, those factors are there for everybody. They're there for teenagers. And on its own, being a teenager can be a tough time to live through without all that stuff you just mentioned. Are people at that high school age particularly vulnerable to those things that can drive more anger?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of things about being a teenager that are particularly challenging that can lead to anger. And so, for starters, we have a lot of the developmental elements, the physiological developmental changes associated with puberty that can lead to increased emotionality in general. We also have the fact that parts of the brain associated with impulse control are not fully developed yet. So we've got this situation where there's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of emotionality, and some, I guess, poor impulse control. And I think that, all of those things sort of build into this perfect storm that lead to fights and other forms of aggression.
Now, fighting in schools isn't new. There were fights, in my junior high, in my high school, but not infrequently, I'll say, not all the time. Have we learned lessons about creating school environments that help to prevent that? Are there things we should be trying that you think about?
Yeah, I think, the impulse oftentimes is to punish, and that is what a lot of people will say. And it's not that I don't believe in accountability. I do, but I'm not sure that you know, stricter rules are necessarily going to get us there. I think most teenagers know that fighting is against the rules and that a punishment will ensue. And I don't think that stops them in the moment. I think one of the things that we can do to limit fighting is to start recognizing those conflict and tension states before they happen. And that a lot of fights very rarely happen out of nowhere, where it's just two strangers who start fighting. That does happen, but that isn't the primary, the most common. I think oftentimes what we see is that there's a buildup. And I think that being able to recognize that buildup, being able to identify some of the signs there, and then intervene earlier can be really helpful. And I think even when they are somewhat spontaneous, even when they do happen amongst strangers, there's still some tension prior to that from the parties involved. And if we can do a good job of identifying that and moderating and mediating that, I think we're going to be in better shape.
We're talking to Ryan Martin, psychology professor at UW Green Bay, looking at reports from some school districts of an increased number of fights and other behavioral problems since in-person schooling started, and more general issues of anger and anger management for teenagers and the rest of us. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences in a school this year at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ryan, for parents, are there things they can do to help give their kids, I don't know, like a toolkit to take their anger and not use it in harmful ways?
Yeah, I think, again, the impulse is sometimes to punish here. And I think that, again, I get the need for accountability, but I also think that focusing on a few other approaches is going to be really important. So first is, I think, modeling. I think one of the best things parents can do is demonstrate for their kids how to appropriately handle anger. And so, not yelling themselves, not being aggressive themselves, finding ways to just stay in control in front of their kids and to their kids can go a long way. I also think it's important to identify that anger when it happens and not to send the messages to kids that the emotion itself is the problem. I think that there are a lot of good reasons for kids to be feeling frustrated right now. I think they have come off an extraordinarily stressful couple of years. There's been a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry. And so to not minimize the feelings, to acknowledge those feelings can go a long way to helping kids learn to deal with anger, and then help them channel those feelings into more productive, positive solutions. So if you've got a child who is angry about something, teaching them to have an assertive conversation and even maybe sort of role-playing ways of handling that, all of those can be good, healthy ways of dealing with anger at home.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Wausau. Tim, hi. Tim is not with us in Wausau. Maybe you can call back in, Tim, at 800-642-1234. Ryan, something I've talked to you about a time or three. I think a lot of people might look at a solution to anger being express it, vent it, punch pillows and that sort of thing. This is something I think you push back on a lot.
Yeah, it's that myth is so prominent, we even have a name for it. It's called the catharsis myth, and it's the belief that punching pillows and punching bags and going to rage rooms and releasing, quote unquote, our anger those ways is going to be a good way to deal with it. And every piece of data we have says that, no, that's not effective. In fact, it makes us angrier. It makes us more likely to be aggressive in those provoking moments. And so I think moving away from those approaches and trying to channel it into more productive approaches is really valuable.
We're talking to UW Green Bay psychology professor Ryan Martin about student fights at schools, some districts reporting an increase compared to pre-pandemic, and how teenagers are dealing with emotions and with conflict since returning to full-time in-person learning. you can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think this is happening, at least in some districts? Do you have a firsthand look at these issues in a school? Are you seeing this? Are you not seeing this where you are? What are your questions about how we deal with anger or your own solutions? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about how the pandemic has affected the way students process emotions and conflict, with some districts saying they're seeing more fights and other behavioral concerns in schools now compared to pre-pandemic numbers. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on that, your perspectives, if you're seeing it in your local school as a student, a parent, a teacher, administrator. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Patty is with us in Green Bay. Patty, hello.
Hi, I am a teacher in a local school district, and I can tell you that I'm absolutely seeing this, and it is my impression that it's being very much underreported because I don't think they want people to really know how bad things are.
Patty, is it affecting your ability to teach, do you think?
It's affecting my ability to even just be in the building. It's actually dangerous for me, and I don't feel safe.
Patty, and can I ask what age range you teach? Are you at a high school?
At a lower grade, and that's all I would be willing to say.
Gotcha. Patty, thank you for calling in and sharing that. Ryan, if this is interfering with the education, making teachers feel unsafe, I don't know, do you think we're taking this seriously enough?
Yeah, I have grave concerns about where things are at for a variety of reasons. I mean, we've focused on the safety of students right now, but I think also focusing on the safety and well-being of teachers. This is happening within the context of teachers who appear to be leaving the profession in high numbers, or at least considering leaving the profession in high numbers. And this has to add to that. And so my sense is that we need to be taking this seriously for a whole lot of reasons. I would also add that I wonder the degree to which the inadequate or potentially inadequate resources of schools might be playing a role here too. We know that when kids have good positive relationships with their teachers, they're less likely to engage in some of the types of aggression we're talking about. And I think higher class sizes mean it's harder to develop those relationships.
Patty, thanks for calling in. We'll go next to Leo in Milton. Leo, hi.
Hi there. I'm a current senior in high school, so I kind of got a chance to see, before COVID, high school, during, and after. And I think it's a really stark difference with how, especially the underclassmen are, with how they act and, acting out. I can really see how, the COVID experience has changed, teenagers' minds internally and almost, set many of them back.
Leo, do you feel like you made the adjustment okay? I assume you had some time out of school and you're back in now. How did it go for you personally, if I may ask?
Yeah, I mean, I think it went well for me just because I had that, freshman year before COVID. So I got that chance at, a real high school experience before COVID started, which I think without that, it would not have been as good as it is now. So I think I really got lucky, with that. But, my friends underclassmen are, I can tell they're struggling with the transition to high school, even as, sophomores.
Interesting, Leo. Thank you so much for sharing that perspective. Ryan, I mean, people talk about, kids having a lost year or lost couple of years, and it can be hard to come back from that.
Yeah, I think that was a really important point made, and I'm thankful for the call. I think that we have to remember that, a year and a half, if that's, which for many students, that's about what this was, a year and a half of high school or of school is a pretty significant portion of your educational time. And it's going to impact not just the academic learning, but the social learning as well. And I think that that is undoubtedly playing a role. And I think it's probably playing a role in the broader context of anger right now as well, that people just are a little bit out of practice. It's not just the stress, it's the minimal human interaction over the last few years. And so I think that's definitely relevant.
Leo, thanks again for calling in and sharing that. Aaron joins us now in Neenah. Aaron, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am a high school teacher, and I especially work with students that are, you know, teen parents and high risk. I have seen a lot of students complaining or coming to me saying that their needs just can't be met at home right now. You know, we have a lot of parents that their job never quite recovered. They're not quite making what they were before the pandemic. Food prices are really high. Rent prices are really high. Gas prices are really high. So these kids have not just gone through, you know, the year and a half of pandemic, but now are dealing with, you know, we're supposedly through it or getting through it, and things still aren't better for them. They still don't have food. They still don't have support. So I understand where a lot of the frustration is coming from. I don't know how to help it, however. And I'm wondering how we can help not only the anger, but also the apathy that seems to be right alongside it.
Aaron, thanks a lot. A lot there, Ryan. What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of what the caller speaks to is some of what I identified at the beginning, which is, you know, I don't think that young people are worried about the economy the same way their parents are, but those economic factors I was talking certainly have an indirect and even direct impact on their life, the way the caller is describing. And, you know, that if they're not having their basic needs met, if they are hungry, and if they're not able to get enough sleep at night, or if they're not having a healthy relationship with their parents or their siblings, or there's a lot of stress at home, all of that influences how they are at school. And so that's, I think, undeniable that those things are sort of trickling into the classroom and making problems worse. You know, I think that it's hard to know what to do, because the solutions to many of those problems are political solutions. They aren't things that we can, parents necessarily have the power to fix, or teachers necessarily have the power to fix, even though that's where we sort of put the pressure on and say, well, this is where we need to fix it. I don't think that's true. I think these are political factors.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Ryan Martin from UW Green Bay, psychology professor there, about anger, about some increased fights reported by some school districts around the state and the country. Let's go back to your calls now. Barry is with us in Madison. Barry, hi.
Good afternoon. I've got a comment and a question. First of all, ever since schools have begun, there's been fights in school. It's not new, but it certainly has increased in number. And second point is that all of us go through elementary school, and we have one teacher primarily. And human beings have an absolute necessity to have relationships. But when we get to middle school, when kids are starting to move into puberty, all of a sudden each kid has 5, 6, 7 different teachers every day. Now, if we expect kids to develop relationships, it's very difficult to do that within our structure. And the last point is that when you factor in all of these social issues, putting 2,000 kids or 4,000 kids in a building is certainly not conducive to living. And my question is, how do we address that?
Barry, thanks for the call. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by the idea and what the caller said about, you know, being able to build those relationships and have the same teacher throughout. You know, I understand there are practical barriers there, but I assume that some of those practical barriers can be addressed with. I agree. I mean, in the sense that I think that relationship building with students is a really important element here, and our system might not be set up perfectly for that. I also agree that the class size is relevant. I mean, I think the caller referenced building size and how many students are at a particular school. I would even localize that to say I think that class size is relevant, that it becomes more complicated. The more kids you're going to have in a building, the more kids in a lunchroom, and the higher the student-teacher ratio, all of those things are going to drive the potential for conflict.
Thanks for that call, Barry. In just our last minute or so, Ryan, we've heard from one high school student. If there are others listening, what are your thoughts that you'd want to leave them with when it comes to dealing with the emotion that we all have, anger?
Yeah, I think that I would sort of implore kids to understand that the anger they're feeling might be absolutely justified. There are lots of things to be angry about. And a lot of times that anger isn't happening on its own. It's coming along with some sadness and some anxiety and some stress and a whole bunch of other complicated emotions. I think what I would encourage kids to do is to try and find ways to talk to caregivers, talk to teachers, to try and connect with people. I think that the isolation they've experienced has been causing a lot of this, and to try and find ways to connect with people on a deeper level. That is really difficult, hard work, and I congratulate them for their willingness to try. But I think that that's where the solutions are going to come from right now.
Ryan, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ryan Martin, professor of psychology and associate dean for the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences at UW-Green Bay. Follow his work at alltheragescience.com. He was with us today looking at how social isolation during the pandemic might be affecting how students behave in schools, with some districts reporting more fights and other disruptions.